Some radio stations bring you traditional Christmas tunes at this time in December. At Siren, we bring you the best in Yuletide music and the end of the Mayan calendar. Settle back and enjoy. It could be the last show you'll ever catch before ascending to the next level.
The following takes place between the hours of 11 p.m. and 12 midnight GMT on December the 20th, 2012. The marathon has arrived.
Yes, fantastic stuff. And Jolia Tilbury is with us as well. Jolia, just glad to announce that Ilana has sent a photograph of the restaurant she's been eating in. That's Tony's restaurant. There we can see the CCTV cameras, and there you have it. Okay,
marvellous.
Retweet that there. That means nothing to yourself. It's called visualising the
medium.
As far as
you're talking so fast, I can't understand you. You know, we're kind of slow here.
That's not true.
Who said that to Barry?
It's wonderful in every sense of the word. Listen, it's time, Jolia, for us to unveil this fantastic Jolia Tilbury tune, a tune which is going to set us off into a whole new hour's worth of happiness and sheer joy. And it really falls to your good self, to introduce this and why you've gone for this 3 minutes, 42 seconds of sheer wonderfulness.
Well, it's an older song, but it's about staying up all night, so I thought it was very appropriate for your show. And here it is. This is Up All Night.
Up all night.
Ah, splendid. Up All Night, Jolia Tilbury. What did we make of that, Nicola? Silence. Says it all. What can
sorry.
You say? Exactly. It's all right. Nicola was busy taking photographs.
She can't understand you either. You're talking too fast.
I know. And people have gotten studio discipline. They're talking in the background there. It's all right. The photograph will be well. I'll just explain for your benefit, Jolia, and, of course, the listener. It's nice to actually have lots of comments from that area. Don't forget, you can reach us Facebook and all the rest of the bits and pieces. Ed is our official social networker. Graham Harper, in his directorial capacity, has been an idol of Dave Milling for many a year. He needed to have a photograph taken with him. And you know what it's like when the fans have to have photographs taken with you, Jolia. You just think, all right, let's just do the business basically.
No, it's always fun.
Graham's been a fan of me for so long that he did actually insist.
Yeah.
And I was saying, no,
Dave,
Graham, please.
Dave, please, don't, you know. did we enjoy Up All Night, Ed?
Yes. Yeah, I did. I was a bit of... the key of D, I think, was ringing in my ears.
Was it the key of D, Jolia?
Or G? Just go through the scale.
I think it was, F sharp.
F sharp?
Oh, not four outs.
It's nice. Yeah, very good.
Pat Chung.
Graham, did you enjoy that particular thing?
I did, yeah.
There we are.
I've loved all the music.
Fiona Curzon is hopefully up next to connect with her. Is she all right and sorted now, then?
She's expecting us in a few minutes.
Well, we'll do that then, and then we'll be live with the editor of SFX magazine, Dave Bradley. Are you excited, Dave?
Yes.
There we are. That's very good. Jolia has that effect on most people, but she is married to Cameron. Wonderful. Jolia, have you enjoyed the show or the segment of it you've been part of so far?
It has been fantastic.
Okay, well...
one of the best ways to end my life on Earth.
you don't get that in these... fabulous days of the post-George Entwistle BBC. Not as a slogan, anyway.
That was pure Jack Lemmon then. Or Walter Matthau, in fact. That was brilliant.
It's truly tremendous.
Fantastic.
And wonderful in its own routine. Okay, as we mentioned, Fiona Curzon coming up very shortly. I take it then, Jolia, you'll return in the very near future?
Absolutely.
That's splendid. What was that, Hall & Oates? Or would you like a little touch of the Partridge Family? Where would you want to go?
Let's go with the Parker's Family.
Really? Good choice. Good choice. Shirley would be happy, so would David. Just received news that Katie Grimerson is listening. Well done, Katie. We're trying to reach you. We'll probably come to connect with you. Any other tweets? Do you want this grand marathon?
I'm just having a little check now.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Well, we'll leave you with that whilst we actually say Fiona Curzon's with us. Yay!
Yay! Yay, yay, yay.
As you said, Fiona, for your Los Angeles fans, it's important to know at this time of day where it's coming up to nearly 3 p.m, actually, or certainly quarter past three or thereabouts.
Do we have some Los Angeles fans?
Do we have some Los Angeles?
We certainly do.
Exactly. Why do you think we stream live on sirenonline.co.uk? Welcome aboard. Fiona Kozin, the only woman who, in years of doing this radio show, has successfully managed to actually get me to talk about the colour of underwear I was wearing and preferred. It's marvellous, you know.
Red.
Don't go there.
Hey,
not this particular time.
Okay. Red underwear.
This is because she has a fashion eye as well as being one of our top actresses as well. Isn't that right?
She knows why.
Definitely. Yes.
Don't panic, Dave. It's because you're police officer.
Isn't she lovely? I mean, you know, I really need to talk to you before I go to an audition for a little booster.
We're available. Always for yourself at a very reduced rate. It's called our sort of our upbeat scenario setups from that point of view. I just want to correct you. You've never done Doctor Who, have you?
No.
No,
Fiona. Why?
Because they haven't realised what a fantastic person they've been missing in not inviting her to actually be a Doctor Who companion. That's the classic line.
I tell you what, did you see the latest James Bond?
I did, actually. Skyfall. In fact, Ed, you've seen it twice, haven't you?
Katie G's seen it twice.
I thought it was so good.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Fantastic.
Yeah, fab, and we mustn't spoil it.
No.
I am looking forward to the new lot.
Well, exactly. A new Miss Moneypenny.
I think it's going to be very good.
I haven't seen it yet.
Take the shot.
I haven't.
Oh, well.
Okay, I'm not saying a thing.
Nope.
Guys, go and see it. It's fab.
Precisely.
Okay.
So, Antonio Banderas, is he a red underwear person?
I
sleep.
I didn't get that far.
No, that's okay.
Don't be naughty.
Fair enough. Well, I think this is naughty. Yes, yes.
Smack. He was delicious. He's so nice. He's so normal. It's a bit like people talking about the Queen Mum, you know, because she was so normal. Antonio Banderas is so normal.
I've often felt that Antonio Banderas was a dead ringer for the Queen Mother. It's difficult to actually tell them apart, you know.
Stop it. No. Proper people are normal, and therefore they are normal, and you don't realise who they are.
Graham, when you were working with Sir Derek Jacobi, did you find him quite normal?
I did. Found him a giggler.
A giggler.
Yes, I'm quite sure of that.
Yes, yeah. Was he a red underwear person, do you think?
I didn't get that far either.
Fair enough. It's just important. Sometimes
I didn't want to.
Why does it always degenerate when I'm on?
Fiona, ever since your first show, we received... No, I'll say this again.
I'm going to talk about something a little bit serious.
Go.
I had a little problem, and I think you knew about it.
Yep.
And I just want to say this for all of those out there. I could not do the MRI.
That's okay. That's all right.
And I want to tell everybody who can't do it, the club is big. I thought I'd be laughed at by my mates who are deeply serious. I discovered that a girlfriend of mine who's a nurse has to have 2 Valium to go into it. Somebody else who's deeply serious, an accountant, says he couldn't possibly crawl into it. Listen, guys, we're a big brand. Don't think yourself bad for not doing it. But let me tell you, there is a big one in St. John's Wood the Queen Elizabeth and Queen, something or other. There's a big one, you know, because they make big MRI scans now.
Fiona, this is why I appreciate being with you, because, you know, I've never, ever anticipated at 70 minutes past the hour of 11 p.m. UK time in Lincoln actually talking about MRI scanners in London hospitals.
God, I had an anaphylactic shock, and I went into sort of rehab with an asthma attack.
Yep. Well, as we know, Fiona, that hasn't stopped you from being on this show, and nor will it, my girl, because that's the important thing. As I was about to say earlier, Fiona has, as the sole record holder so far, of being the sole actress who brought her young son Tom along, first routine, 6 weeks old, breastfed live on air. Wonderful. Tom showed his appreciation.
Exactly.
1986.
But listen.
Yes.
Listen.
Yes.
Alexia.
Yes.
Could you see a thing?
I couldn't possibly comment.
Are you scarred? You couldn't have told.
Exactly. You know, it was, as I say, it was a, I felt it was a warming experience. You know.
No. What I would like to say is that, unlike some people, that, sorry, this is going to upset other people. I think you can do these things and be quite discreet.
Exactly.
Yes.
There we
can
are.
Go on, Dave.
You're desperate to sort of burst in. Come on.
Vienna, sorry. I'm a dad of two. And
do you breastfeed?
I've not breastfed at all, but I know my wife and my sister both, you know, didn't feel anxious at all about breastfeeding in public. You've got plenty of scarves and plenty of blankets, and it's, you know, I've never actually understood anybody that takes offence at something that is one of the most natural things to do ever, really.
I'll tell you what did slightly take my breath away. I'm on the Edgware Road line.
All right, yes, I know.
And we're pulling into sort of... I think might have crossed onto the Metropolitan on the way to Baker Street, and this kid sort of danced across the, I mean, it was about 4 years old, and it leapt on its mother's lap and yanked the poop out, and I had a slight turn.
It's understandable. I don't quite understand the story,
just
but it is understandable.
Just a slight turn, and all of us on the tube went, right,
exactly.
Fine.
But the thing is, if you're not used to something, Fiona, I think sometimes people can be shocked by it. But I've got a couple of female colleagues that recently had to have a few goes. I know you mentioned the MRI scan. Had to have a few goes for a full MRI scan because they had panic attacks because they said it was one of the most uncomfortable, unnatural things to be in that confined space for so long that they couldn't cope with it. So... I don't think you're by far the only individual that's ever had those sorts of problems.
I know. I think it's quite good to talk about because lots of people feel wimpish that they've failed.
Absolutely.
All I can say, darlings, get the Valium. You know, get somebody to hit you in the face so you're knocked out. Do something. You know.
Well, you can actually have sedation, can't you? If you need to go.
I wouldn't say even with the cutbacks in the NHS that actually getting somebody to actually whack you in the face until you're unconscious is necessarily the best way for it.
I think I just talked to them for about 10 minutes and that has the same sort of effect.
True. Anyway, there we are. You've been listening to Fiona Curzon with medical advice for the Myathon listeners in Los Angeles. Various other things. We didn't actually explain why you had this connection with Antonio Banderas because it was a movie Femme Fatale, of course.
It was Femme Fatale.
Exactly.
With the lovely, actually, yeah, I wouldn't describe it lovely, with the incredibly impressive Brian De Palma.
Indeed. Good director. Ah. Yeah, very much in the Graham Harper class of directing, really, I felt. You know, Brian De Palma. We'll find out more from the editor-in-chief of Dave Bradley. The editor-in-chief of Dave Bradley? No, the editor-in-chief of SFX magazine, Dave Bradley, and it's the recent edition that Graham is currently perusing at this moment. Fiona, we have to throw those last two questions at you, so I'm going to ask Ed to deliver them in his unique way. Over to you, Ed.
Fiona. And it's still this evening, isn't it? Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on Siren 107.3 this evening?
Yes.
Oh, thank you for being so obliging.
Very good.
And can we look forward to linking up with you in the near future?
Please do. It would help if I didn't put my phone onto silent, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, I mean, we don't want to say these kind of things, but it's nice that they sent the text saying I'm here, which is there.
Yeah, exactly. You realised something was up, didn't you?
Exactly. You know, Brandon Flowers, was it something I said? Happy trails, Fiona.
Yeah. Hey, guys, happy Christmas.
And you, Fiona.
And you.
Okay, God bless.
You're listening to the end of the Mayan Calendar Broadcast-a-thon on Siren 107.3 FM, together with ChilpackHollywood.com and Combat Radio in Los Angeles, celebrating the end of the Mayan calendar in style.
So, Graham, you're currently leafing through the current edition of SFX magazine, with, of course, the fabulous Matt Smith and Jenna Louise Coleman on the cover. What are your thoughts on this little production?
Hmm. Oh.
The magazine.
I think the magazine is stunning.
The magazine's stunning. Stunning and glossy.
And I've also seen an article about Sir Derek Jacobi. Wanting to be in, well, he says makes the best case for a Star Wars 7 role we've heard yet.
That's very true. Stunning and routine. I'm sorry, Dave, but I thought you were going. Okay?
I am, that's all right.
Well, just stay there for the moment, because online at present, Dave Bradley, because it is easily confused. Dave Bradley, how often have you been confused as editor-in-chief of SFX with a sergeant in the police force called Dave Milling? It's understandable, you know? Welcome aboard, Dave. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here. I've got a little bit of a cold, so maybe the end of the Mayan calendar spells it illness for me, unfortunately, but...
Very true. Now, as I say, you must be pleased with that. I mean, you can use that as the next sort of clip routine. Graham Harper, Doctor Who director, stunning and glossy. Glossy and stunning.
Yeah. Thank you, Graham. No, that's a lovely soundbite to hear. Thank you. I'm glad you like the issue. It's been out for a week or so. And yet,
Dave, there is something which your predecessor, Dave Golder, and myself ruminated on a few years ago when we started this campaign after a fashion, although I'm sure Dave Golder would say, oh, we'll go out in all sorts of ways, where we feel that the new series of Stephen Moffat-produced Doctor Who is nice, but it really misses something in terms of directing. Do you not think it misses a certain sort of Harper-esque quality? Do you not think the campaign should start now to actually get Graham Harper back directing Matt Smith?
I want to get back to do the 50th anniversary.
The 50th anniversary, wow, yeah. Are you looking forward to that?
Well, I'm not being asked, but I'm looking forward to seeing it, yeah.
I mean, much as he likes working on Coronation Street with the team and all the rest of the bits and pieces, I just think the BBC are missing a trick here, Dave. I think the campaign should start here from that point of view. Are you a fan of the Graham Harper SF material or science fiction stuff?
Because obviously, don't have to say anything,
Star Cops, Sarah Jane Adventures.
Absolutely, Sarah Jane Adventures, and of course some of the fantastic episodes of Doctor Who. I Turn Left, for instance, I'm a big fan of, and so yeah, absolutely.
Why did you like Turn Left?
I thought it was just an interesting take on it. I like it when science fiction plays around with narrative and takes an alternative take on stories that we've already seen. I just find that quite always fun to watch.
I learnt about Catherine Tate and how great an actress she really can be and is.
Right.
On that one programme. I thought she was... that one episode, which was obviously, of course, her story rather than David Tennant's. But
yes.
I thought she was absolutely brilliant. I mean, that was one... That block, that episode, was one in which I really did work very hard with her. And it was... Because David wasn't there. I mean, it was her show. So I had an opportunity to really find out what made her tick. I thought she was brilliant. Sorry, yes, I'm waffling on now, but yeah.
It was interesting that Richard, deputy editor, earlier in the show was talking about, obviously, things like zombies, and we had several people who wrote in to sort of say that they didn't like zombies at all. Yeah, that's fine, but still, hopefully they're still listening. It's always good from that point of view. Star Trek, obviously, Into the Dark. Do you think we're going into a more dystopian field as far as science fiction is concerned, Dave?
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you something else, though. The things you've mentioned, of course, are dystopian, have an end-of-the-world feel to them, but actually, I think if you look at the run of movies that are coming up next year, you're right, Star Trek is one of the ones to be excited about, but also we're getting another run of fairy tale movies, fantasy movies. We've got things like Jack the Giant Killer and Oz the Great and the Powerful, and Sam Raimi having a crack at the Wizard of Oz story. We've got, there's a number of things. Game of Thrones coming back to TV. So I think Once Upon a Time in Grimm on TV as well. So actually, despite a few dystopian stories, I think maybe there's a counter to that. Maybe people are desperate to have a bit of fairy tale in their lives as well.
We even have some fairy tales on Siren over the Christmas period, which are taking a whole new line to that whole setup. And exciting news is Malcolm Tomlinson, father, of course, of Eleanor Tomlinson, the lead in Jack the Giant Slayer, as it's being referred to. Surely we went through the Buffy phase a wee while ago. What was wrong with Jack the Giant Killer? No, they've changed it to Jack the Giant Slayer. Will be with us as well. Of course, Nicola, you've met and worked with Eleanor, have you not?
I have, yeah. She's absolutely wonderful.
In fact, she's so wonderful, Dave, she even actually comes up with goods like this.
Hi, this is Eleanor Tomlinson from Jack the Giant Killer. I am your new princess of 2013. Bring it on! You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
Technically, it's the Myathon. Of course, that was actually done at Newmarket when her father was actually riding in a charity horse race. But that's Eleanor Tomlinson for you. And, of course, the movie has changed. It's no longer Jack the Giant Killer. It's Jack the Giant Slayer. I didn't have the heart to get her online to actually say, can we just clip that again? You know, get in touch with...
Re-record it with the correct title.
Yes. And actually, just insert Slayer. You know, it's going to be rank amateurish. You know, I think let's just keep that as something which was historic at the time. Eleanor currently working on a BBC series in Bruges, I believe. You're not sure whether the Belgians will actually let her out. Otherwise, she would have been joining us on this scenario. Ed, I'm going to ask you to do the little sight read. Have you got a copy of SFX in front of you?
I do, yeah.
I'd like you to actually read the Dave Bradley editorial, OK? This is going to be channelling some of the thoughts of Chairman Bradley here. What can say our whole routine now? Are you set for this? You ready to go?
I certainly remember,
the Americans love the accent, and in sort of lines that I really was worried about whether I should read through this, but it was quite an interesting line from a new gentleman who's actually sort of just liked this whole sequence, whose name is actually Cleanhead Cole. That's Cleanhead Cole, who actually said, "I love Jolia's accent. I could stay up all night listening to it." Yeah, best not bore her. Exactly.
Oh,
so, anyway, it is time now for Ed Wellman to read the thoughts of Dave Bradley.
To my mind, this picture dwarfs all my other editor's page photos this year. Yes, welcome to Middle Earth. This issue, we've gone Bilbo bonkers to celebrate the return of Tolkien's fantasy vision to the cinema.
Genius. I feel, actually, Dave, when you actually go full multimedia on the sfx.co.uk website, you might like to actually hire Ed Wellman to actually do some voiceovers just for yourself.
That's cheap.
Marvellous, yeah. It sounds better than it. To myself in my head, that's incredible. If you could read out all my introductions, that'd be wonderful.
Should we go for this month as well, the upcoming one? Graham, would you like to pass this whole? Because, yes. I mean, the thing about Dave Bradley's interview is they always have a photograph of Dave in some sort of action scenario. And obviously, the one that we had in the last month was relating to The Hobbit. This time round, we've got another really exciting one.
I'm stuck on the word in the end of the first sentence, beginning with S.
What word is that, Ben?
Sontaran?
Sontaran. Please, sorry.
If you could have all seen the looks I got there.
Sontara, Sontara, Sontara. Sorry.
You see, you don't want me. This year, I am celebrating Christmas by becoming a
Sontaran.
Thank you. Yes, we're getting ready for the now traditional Yuletide special episode of Doctor Who, and we've taken the opportunity to speak with showrunner Stephen Moffat.
There we are. And why you didn't ask the question, so what about Graham Harper then? Hey, Steve, you know, what about Graham? You know,
I shall make Nick, who did the interview, aware of his omission.
Was that Nick Setchfield then?
Yes,
I see. Comic Man. He's a great guy, but, you know, he's never done one of these shows. Doesn't quite understand the whole thing. Your last appearance on Doctor Who, of course, Graham, was as Gadget Gadget, was it not?
Yes.
Yours was the voice of Gadget Gadget.
Yes. Gadget
Gadget. Gadget Gadget. Almost be there, really. What's the weather like in Bath? When we spoke to Richard earlier, it was a bit wet. Has it improved any, Dave?
It's not raining anymore, but it is still a damp and cold night. We took the opportunity to go out at lunchtime today and have a traditional Christmas pie in the Raven in Bath, which was our plan to celebrate Christmas together as a team. So we all ploughed down there, and it was a stinker of a day on the way back to the office.
It must have been a blooming big pie.
Nice. But we had I let everyone have a pie of their own,
actually. Okay. Future Publishing have a whole heap of other goodies to actually work through. Looking up, we've got Pip Mountjoy. That's the Pip Mountjoy from BBC Introducing, who has composed a special Myathon treat for us, and we're going to hear that once again in a few moments. Dave, it's been an absolute blast, and thank you for staying up this late in the evening to connect with us, your friendly neighbourhood scenario of Siren 107.3 FM and the Midweek Drive Myathon that we're doing. Little heads up for tomorrow. Martin Jarvis is joining us. Martin, of course, who was in Stargate, as well as doing a whole stack of other things, etc. So that's just one of a whole heap of goodies. Jean Bruce Scott, if you're interested, will be connecting with us at 1:20 AM, where she'll be talking about, obviously, her time on Airwolf. Caitlin O'Shaughnessy. You know, they need more Caitlin O'Shaughnessy. In fact, Ed, you saw one of the episodes of Airwolf, because you did some research just on Jean Bruce Scott from this point of view.
Terrific.
She is, exactly.
She was the star of the show.
And, of course, the classic line, look, if all else fails, ladies, get out the bikinis and sing songs. Always good when you're at the bottom of the ocean in an airline plane that's been shot down. Very good. I don't know why Dave Milling has put me a line with his red dwarf question mark. Do you want to have another quick?
Yeah, it was just for Dave, really.
Just for Dave? Shall we leave the studio, then?
Please, no. It was just for Dave, really. Hello, Dave. It's Dave.
There were five Dave. Really.
I was just wondering what you thought of the new series of Red Dwarf. That's all.
I really enjoyed it. I felt like it had gone back to the made it so popular many years ago. I mean, also the trappings of it, the kind of live studio audience and that. But But something about the setup, it felt again like when Red Dwarf was at its best, it felt like a kind of like a sitcom, like a kind of Only Fools and Horses type scenario, something quite enclosed with just guys bouncing off each other. And I think it managed to capture a little bit of that again.
Yes, I completely agree, because I thought the latter, once they brought in Kachansky, I thought it just went off the boil, and then they obviously had too many characters in the last series. That was on BBC 1 or 2 back in 99. And I thought it was really clever how they just got back to basics when they originally disappeared in Starbug in Series 6. I just thought it was just the four guys, and it was just quite simple, but it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And they've still got all the big science fictional ideas, which Red Dwarf could always do pretty well, actually. But there was something, a spark missing in previous ones. Maybe they got a little bit too ahead of itself. But this one, I enjoyed it again. And I felt that the four guys slipped back really easily into their roles again, didn't they? I mean, I know that a lot of time has passed, but they just picked up the banter straight away, I thought.
I mean, you saw them get a little bit older physically, but you're absolutely right there. Sorry, Alex.
You're listening to Dave Squared, an analysis of Dave's talking about things that might actually have its own channel named after him. Oh, they've already got that sorted through. Patty has actually emailed in from Australia to say, it's all right, Australia is still here. Hey. Go, Patty. Hey. Or as we'd say, good day, Patty. some of us might do. Red Dwarf fan, Ed?
Not in a long time, but I can see the funny side of it.
Nicola, Red Dwarf fan?
Never really watched it, to be honest.
Graham?
I was. I haven't seen any of this.
Too busy directing
Coronation
of Graham.
But I loved it in the 90s, yeah.
Would you like to make Dave Bradley's day by asking him those last two questions? Because I know it'll excite him beyond belief, actually, to actually be asked this by a genuine legend of broadcasting scenario. Who actually does need to be the server, the subject of a major SFX interview. Not that I'm promoting anything, but there we are. Graham, over to you.
Dave?
Hello.
Have you had a reasonably interesting time with us?
I have enjoyed myself.
Oh, good. And would you like to come back?
I would be enormously pleased to come back anytime.
That'd be really good.
One of these days, Dave, we're going to have to come down to SFX land in future publishing world and actually do a location report from the actual studios. I think we should do that, really. Because I know we've talked about doing this on a number of sort of times, and it's been quite some time since we started thinking about the Weekender. That'll be coming up, of course, in 2013, and a whole heap of other goodies as well. Yes, Graham? You're available for Weekender.
Dave.
He's available for Weekender, Dave.
I want to ask you another question. In the 80s, when I started directing, I went to see, I'm not going to say who it was, but I went to the head of drama that I was under to try and sell him a project, which was a science fiction project. And I also worked on a science fiction project with the same I'm not going to tell you what he was, the same person. Unbeknown to me, I was one of two directors, and there was one producer, and this person, behind the scenes, was deciding that this series would go out late at night in July.
We're talking Star Cops.
And
bad
I
experience.
Could not believe why they did this. Why? And he felt that nobody was really interested in science fiction. There was a small core of people who were very keen on it.
Anorex.
Blah, blah. And... and 25 years later, after all the Star Treks and the Star Wars, God knows what else. How extraordinary.
David Calder, Eric
and
Theroux.
I used to say that in those days, people were paid to make decisions, and they made them on their own, and they were paid to make those decisions and whatever. Whereas now we have 25 people making the decisions before we actually do anything. I find that extraordinary. And here you are, editing a magazine that is dedicated to hundreds of fantastic science fiction.
Absolutely.
Well, not hundreds, but a lot of
thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
Extraordinary.
It's fantastic. I think how the entertainment has changed, and science fiction is something that people get excited about now. I mean, for instance, next week you saw the issue of the magazine there, Christmas Day, Doctor Who, and it feels like a tradition now, like part of a fabric of what we do in Britain.
And much more inspiring than Only Fools and Horses used to be, I have to say.
Yeah, it's a great thing. But if you and I said, Graham, as you say, maybe 20 years ago, and said on Christmas Day we'll all sit around and watch an alien invasion on Christmas afternoon, people would probably have laughed.
I think it's the end of the marathon. We'd think, 5,000 years ago, what are they on? Is it all cyclical?
But the public would have been there. The actual punters would have been there. Yes, it's the people making decisions, I
they
find.
They just didn't understand. Yeah. Don't worry, Graham. They're understanding now. Exactly. Yeah. Did you ask him the second question?
Yes.
Yes, he
is
did.
Is he coming back?
Yes. Oh, yes, I'll come
probably.
Back.
Yes.
Fantastic. Fancy some werewolves? Well, why not? What's not to love? Be a sequel, Werewolves of Lincoln. Well, that's a thought. Werewolves of Teesside. Werewolves of Dulwich. Well, maybe. Sorry, are we interrupting your conversation, Dave?
Sorry.
Some likes I was going live. It's always important. As Pip Mountjoy will actually say, isn't that right, Pip Mountjoy?
Hi.
Hey. Now, are you able to stay up this late, Pip? Because I know you're just a wee lass, and really, it's nearly midnight. Really, I mean, it's quite late. I mean, are your parents okay with this and everything?
Far asleep, I think.
Well, you say it's our daughter. She's on BBC's New Talent. You know, it's all right. Listen, we've already we couldn't wait. We revealed this earlier in the show, and Cameron Tilbury thought it was fantastic. We thought we're going to play it again. We'll play it again before the whole thing. Because Graham, this young lady last week when she joined us on the midweek drive for the first time, because she'd been on our sister service Southside Broadcasting's There You Go show TYG with Jericho Keys, still available, fine show, etc. I was so impressed. We thought it's time to feature on this, and when she took up that challenge of writing a song to celebrate the end of the Mayathon calendar, the end of 5,125 years in the long count. And Pip has proven that once again the Brits have stepped up to the mark and written a song which she's produced for us. Are you ready to listen to this?
We're ready.
Here it comes.
There's fire in the wine, so raise a glass. They say there's fire in the wine, so raise a glass to the end of time.
Raise a glass to the end of time. Graham Harper, BAFTA award-winning director, what are your thoughts?
Sorry, I'm laughing at the BAFTA award-winning director bit. I thought that was absolutely beautiful. A lovely love song, and also tragic.
Nicola Chancy?
I was going for something a bit more light-hearted, but it turns out it's actually a pretty bleak subject.
Pip, you never said that when we actually gave you this challenge of writing a song within 168 hours to celebrate the end of 5,000 years of human experience. But it's a nice day. Nicola Clancy, what did you make of the thing?
Well, I was really glad that I stayed for that. That was absolutely beautiful. I had chills down my spine. It was so nice.
Oh, thank you.
Excellent work.
And recorded on her mobile phone and sent to us.
Yeah,
take that, American artists. You know, there we are. And I'm suggesting the band take that because that's another line entirely. Ed.
I think it goes perfectly with the album cover to your Louisiana disc.
Oh, thank you.
It seems to fit with the sort of gentleness of the water and
yeah,
so forth.
Yeah, that's me when
there.
I was little.
Is that you?
My brothers, yeah.
All right.
Wonderful. And Dave Milling?
Pip, not a lot makes me speechless, but...
I can attest to that over the last 2.5 hours, actually.
As well as many of my friends and family would all sort of clarify as well, or sort of agree with as well. But I said to Alex in the studio that you reminded me quite a lot of, if you're familiar with Ren Harvieu at all.
I'm not.
Who's... she was one of the BBC's Sound of 2012 last year. Or this year, I should say. And her album, Through the Night, for me, it had very sort of earthy quality. It's fantastic.
Oh,
very,
you.
Very haunting.
Sorry, what was
the name? Ren Harvieu. It's Harvieu.
Yeah, exactly.
EU. She's,
okay.
Through the Night is her album, and she's, it's a fantastic
piece.
See,
I like to think Ren Harvieu has kind of channelled some Pip Mountjoy into her work, first of all.
Yes, perhaps you're both sort of...
Equally Ryan Adams, not to be confused with Brian Adams, but, often occurs in every sense of the word.
Pip, absolutely beautiful, and it was well worth me hanging around just to hear that, so thank you very much.
It's just winning all over the place from that point of view. Coming up, Ilana Rain will be providing us with her views on her life and times, where it's actually 4 p.m. in Los Angeles now, so we're moving on. Sarah Huntley will be joining us around about 12:20, but you're just in time, Pip, to actually hear the thought from the universe from Mike Dooley. 26 seconds. It might well appeal to your good self. Here it comes. Stay with us.
What you want has no bearing on whether or not you'll get it. None, nada, zippo. It's only ever a question of whether or not you can behave as if you already have it. I got you, babe. The universe. P.S. Told you you'd love time and space.
Yeah, I think we do, actually, overall. I mean, it is quite fun, this whole time and space thing. Time traced in material existence and space special platform activated for our computer empathies and so on. Graham, any questions you want to put to Pip Mountjoy?
Did you have that music in your head for something else, or I know that probably sounds, how dare I say that, but was that hanging around in your brain somewhere? Is that a piece you just created that especially for this song,
for this show?
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
I don't know. I sort of write things together every time, so I just sort of write a song in whole.
Yeah. I'd like you to write a song about a lonely radio presenter who just has to sort of work through every so often doing a marathon for 25 years. Just go with it.
I've never come across one of those.
Listen, we need to start the campaign going, start a lot of campaigns going, but I think, and I think Dave will support me on this, I think we should have Pip Mountjoy performing in Lincoln sometime. What do you
definitely
think?
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Hopefully sometime next year, early next year.
Talk us through some of the sort of events and venues you're going to be performing at, where people can see you so far, if they're sort of waiting for you to come to Lincoln, etc. Where are you going to, or should they just go to pipmountjoy.com?
Yeah, at the moment I've only got one more this year in Leeds. I'm playing on Saturday on Leeds, got a free show at the Brudenell Social Club, which will be fun.
A free show?
But then I'm off to US and Canada for a month in January, so
we'll have to gear yourself up. You can join our sort of Canadian links and various other things. I know that Cameron Gill will be very excited when I play the whole thing through, so hopefully that'll work.
Facebook is probably best. Facebook or pitmountjoy.com to look for
gigs. There we are. It's always important from that point of view. Okay, Ed? Would you like to throw those last two questions to Pip, please?
Certainly would. Pip, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
It's been lovely, thank you.
Thank you so much. And can we look forward to joining you again? I'm sure we can.
Oh, yes, please.
And just to confirm, that song once again is 2012. Are we sticking with that as the title, or did you want to...
Yeah,
that is 2012.
Okay, 2012.
Cool. And should we release it? I mean, obviously...
so glad, because I just tweeted that. It was called 2012, so I'm glad you decided that.
Not to be confused with the disaster movie the same name, because obviously that's... Yeah, anyway, 2013
is I'm so bad with culture.
No, I think
that existed.
And many people, including the makers, probably would like to deny it existed in the first place. But never mind. You know, it was important in its own way to actually work through that. That's the important setup. Ryan Adams was the key thing that you're looking for. Now we don't actually have any Ryan Adams immediately sorted out for ourselves. Well, it is actually, but you know, we could actually go for. What should we actually go for? I mean, we're still looking for various other bits and pieces. Take us up to the news. Let's see, news defined earlier as how was it defined? 2 minutes of verbal whiplash. Yes.
Oral whiplash.
Why don't you have Doris Day singing... as Calamity Jane... Whip Crack Away.
Yes.
No, I think we'll have Odyssey and the perfect theme. For the Myathon, apart from 2012 and Pitt Mountjoy, of course, if you're looking for a way out, well, check out the latest extraterrestrial activity in France. Happy trails, Pip. See you soon.
Bye, thank you.
Happy Christmas.